Hi there, Greg Van Beek. This is Nancy O'Dell, and I wanted to say congratulations on 500 episodes of Nostalgia Radio Time. That is awesome. And you're also celebrating 10 years. I mean, that's quite the anniversary. Very impressive, Greg. I love me some oldies but goodies.
Once I had a secret love. Ha, I'm Lori Morgan, and if you love pop standards as much as I do, you'll want to tune in each week to Nostalgia Radio Time, hosted by my friend Greg Van Beek.
Go, Joe, go!
Hi everyone, this is Katie Couric, and I want to welcome you to one of my favorite programs, Nostalgia Radio Time, hosted by my friend Greg Van Beek.
Greetings, one and all, and welcome to program number 643 of Nostalgia Radio Time. This week we've got a bunch of songs going back to old vaudeville performers. We're going to begin with Al Jolson going back to the year he passed away in 1950. This is an unissued take he recorded for Decca that year, way down yonder in New Orleans.
Guess, where do you think I'm going when the wind starts blowing strong? Guess, where do you think I'm going when the nights start growing long? I ain't going east, ain't going west, ain't going over the cuckoo's nest. I'm bound for the town I love the best, where life is one sweet song. Way down yonder in New Orleans, in the land of the dreamy scenes, there's a Garden of Eden, that's what I mean. Three old babies with flashing eyes softly whisper that tender sigh. Stop! Or won't you give your lady fair a little smile? Stop! You bet your life you'll linger there a little while. There is heaven right here on earth with those beautiful queens way down yonder in New Orleans. In the land of the dreamy scenes, there's a Garden of Eden, that's what I mean. Three old babies with flashing eyes softly whisper their tender sighs. Stop! Or won't you give your lady fair a little smile? Stop! You bet your life you'll linger there a little while. You got angels right here on earth wearing little blue jeans way down yonder in New Orleans.
The man known as the world's greatest entertainer, Al Jolson, from 1950 with Way Down Yonder in New Orleans. If you have any songs you'd like me to play or old-time radio shows you'd like featured on the program, send a request to nostalgiaradiotime@yahoo.com and be sure to check us out on Facebook and X. And if you happen to be looking for an antique radio, check out my website at radioaddict.com/Van Beek. Got a lot of great sets available for you. Now my new Bluetooth capability. We move up to 1960 for Bobby Darin's big hit that year of Artificial Flowers.
Alone in the world was poor little Anne. As sweet a young child as you'd find. Parents had gone to their final reward, leaving their baby behind. Did you hear? This poor little child was only 9 years of age when mother and dad went away. Still she bravely worked at the one thing she knew to earn her few pennies a day. She made artificial flowers, flowers for ladies of fashion to wear. She made artificial flowers, you know those artificial flowers, fashioned from Annie's despair. With paper and shears, with some wire and wax, she made up each tulip and mum. As snowflakes drifted into her tenement room, her baby little fingers grew numb from making artificial flowers, those artificial flowers, flowers for ladies of high fashion to wear. She made artificial flowers, made from Annie's despair. They found little Annie all covered with ice, still clutching her poor frozen shears. Amidst all the blossoms she had fashioned by hand and watered with all her young tears. In heavenly gardens and bowers, and instead of a halo, she'll wear around her head a garland of genuine flowers. No more artificial flowers, throw away those artificial flowers, flowers for ladies of society to wear. From Annie's fashion, from Annie's despair. Give her the real thing.
Every time I hear that dear old wedding march, I feel rather glad I have a broken arch. I have heard a lot of married people talk, and I know that marriage is a long, long walk. To most people, weddings mean romance, but I prefer a picnic or a dance. Another bride, another groom, another sunny honeymoon, another season, another reason for making whoopee. The choir sings, here comes the bride, another victim is by her side. He's lost his reason, 'cause it's the season for making whoopee. Down through the countless ages, you'll find it everywhere. Somebody makes good wages, somebody wants her share. She calls them toodles and rolls her eyes. She makes them strudels and bakes them pies. What is it all for? It's so he'll fall for another year, or maybe less. What's this I hear? Well, can't you guess? She feels neglected, and he is suspected of making whoopee. She sits alone most every night. He doesn't phone or even write. He says he's busy, but
but she says Izzy is making whoopee. He doesn't make much money, $5,000 per. Some judge who thinks he's funny says you'll pay six to her. He says, now judge, suppose I fail. The judge says, budge, right into jail. You'd better keep her, you'll find it's cheaper than making whoopee.
That was a 1957 re-recording by the Apostle of Pep, Old Banjo Eyes himself, Eddie Cantor, with a song he introduced on Broadway back in the 20s, Making Whoopee. And now we've got another vaudevillian, Ted Lewis, also from 1957, and he's got a million wonderful memories to tell you about.
You know, folks in my profession, I mean people on the stage, we're often criticized for things we do. They say we just spend our money like a lot of silly fools, and we wind up behind the eight ball when we're through. I know it's come back to me, and I've heard it said myself. Now that guy Lewis, boy, is he getting up in age. And they'd really like to know if I have anything to show for all of the years that I've put in on the stage. Well, I'm not in Dun & Bradstreet, but believe me, I'm okay. And I'll never want for anything with what I've put away. Folks, I've got a million, million wonderful memories. And each little memory, it's tucked safely right down deep in my heart. I've got a vault all so full of laughs, and a bank just chock full of cheer. And I can write a check for them, yeah, any day in the year. And I've got a million dreams that are all so beautiful. The kind of dreams, you know, the dreams that never can escape. So listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me, honestly. Can't you see me? Why, I'm in a wonderful shape. And you know something? I could quit tomorrow if I felt inclined that way. I could hang up my old high hat and take a bow. And if I lived to be 100, I could never count the joys that I've accumulated up to now. I'd have to start in Sugarville, Ohio. Yes, that's my hometown. That's where I entertained at parties as a kid. And the laughs we used to get from our neighbor, Mr. Brown. By the way, Mr. Brown, that's a gentleman who taught me how to twirl my lid. And those good old days of vaudeville, those midnight jamborees, no money half the time, the other half it just grew on trees. And the different songs that I sang and played, oh, I never will forget. Each song a beautiful memory of some pretty little girl that I met. And the autographs I signed for kings, and when I didn't have a buck, the little guys who helped me out, and the shields that brought me luck, and the headline acts who taught me with every little trick they could, and you folks who kept applauding when I wasn't quite that good. All in all, I have no reason to complain. I have had my share of sunshine, and if it ever starts to rain, why, I've got a million. A million dreams is so beautiful, and I've got them safely right here in my memory. I'm blessed with a lot, ladies and gentlemen, because the kind of things that I've got, they're the things that no one can ever take away from me. Yes, sir.
meanest man you ever see. He gives you youth, then he steals it away. He takes your nice, pretty hair, turns it gray. Makes you rich, makes you poor. He's a dog. All your dreams and your schemes ain't worth a dime. So have a good time every day, 'cause you'll never, never get away from old man time. Old man time, the boogaboo. Every year he changes you. He bends your back, dims your eyes, you see less. You quake and shake when he's through, you're a mess. Makes you fat, thin or tall, he plays tricks on us all. Every year changes you, no sense of rhyme. He gives you beauty, charm, and grace, then puts wrinkles in your face. That's old man time. But there's one thing he can't change. Love that's true stays the same. It lives on and on in any clime. So you don't ever have to fret, fall in love and you forget that old man time. Yes, old man time.
Great Schnozola, Jimmy Durante from 1963, singing about old man time. Here's someone else talking about something old. Here's George Burns from 1981. He's going to tell us all about his old bones.
Old bones inside an old raincoat. Old bones inside of old shoes. Old friend from the hotel, come by to wish me well and keep me up to date on all the old news. Sometimes I have me a whiskey and fall asleep in my chair. I dream that I'm a man much younger than I am. I'll bet you think by now that I wouldn't care, but I love life, I'd like to do it again. Though I might not be much more than I've ever been, just to have the chance to turn back the hands and let my life begin. Oh yeah,
oh, yeah.
I'd like to do it again. It's time taking it easy. It's time for taking it slow. Old bones don't move so fast like they did once in the past. Now if I have to run, I simply don't go. But I love life, I'd like to do it again. Though I might not be much more than I've ever been. Just to have the chance to turn back the hands and let my life begin. Oh yeah, I'd like to do it again. Oh yeah, I'd like to do it again.
I met a guy today I knew years ago when he was 23. And he was married to a widow who was as pretty as could be. Now, this widow had a grown-up daughter who had beautiful hair of red, and this guy's father fell in love with her, and soon the two were wed. Now, this made the guy's dad his son-in-law and changed his very life, for his daughter was his mother because she was his father's wife. Now, to complicate the matter, even though it brought him joy, he soon became the father of a bouncing baby boy. Now, his little baby then became a brother-in-law to his dad, and so became his uncle, and though that made him very sad, for if the baby was his uncle, then that also made him brother of the widow's grown-up daughter, who of course was his stepmother.
He's his own grandpa.
Now you're catching on.
He's his own grandpa.
Well, naturally, it sounds funny, I know, but really it's so.
He's his own grandpa.
Well, wait a minute, get a load of this. Now, his father's wife then had a son who kept him on the run. So he became his grandchild, for he was his daughter's son. His wife is now his mother's mother, and of course that makes him blue, because although she's his wife, she's his grandmother too.
He's his own grandpa.
Fun in the living room.
He's his own grandpa.
Absolutely, it sounds funny, I know, but really it's so.
He's his own grandpa.
Yeah, but look, get the payoff. Now, if his wife is his grandmother, then he is her grandchild. And every time the guy thinks of it, it nearly drives him wild. For now he has become the strangest case you ever saw. As husband of his grandmother, he's his own grandpa.
He's his own grandpa.
And loving every minute.
He's his own grandpa.
Oh, tell me more. It sounds funny, I know, but really it's so.
He's his own grandpa. He's his own grandpa.
Phil Harris from 1948 with He's His Own Grandpa. Now it's Bing Crosby time, our Bing Sings feature for the week, and Bing's going to sing all about Liza. This goes back to 1954.
Moon shining on the river, come along my Liza. Breeze singing in the treetops, come along my Liza. Something mighty sweet I wanna whisper sweet and low, that you oughta know, my Liza. I get lonesome, honey, when I'm all alone so long. Don't make me wait, don't hesitate. Come and hear my song. Liza, Liza, skies are gray, clouds will roll away. Liza, Liza, don't delay. Come keep me company, and the clouds will roll away. Honeymoon am shining down. We should make a day with Parson Brown. So Liza, Liza, name the day when you belong to me, and the clouds will roll away.
Time now for Old Time Radio Time. It's here in the show where we give a listen to a complete radio broadcast from radio's golden age. This week we're going back to November 16th of 1944 and tuning into the Abbott and Costello Show.
And Costello program brought to you by Camel, the cigarette that's first in the service according to actual sales records. Listen to the great rhythms of Freddie Rich and his orchestra, the swingy singing of Connie Haynes, and that lad whose message loud and clear each Thursday rings into your ear.
All right, Costello, Costello, come here. You're all excited.
I like me.
You're all excited. What's the thing you've got there?
Huh?
It looks like a telegram. Where did you get it?
Oh, a fellow in a long green underwear gave it to me.
A fellow in a long green underwear?
Yeah, he was wearing a Western Union suit.
Why, yeah, dummy, that was a... that was the messenger boy. And that's a telegram. What does it say?
It don't say nothing, Abbott. I can't see a thing.
Well, you dope, you haven't even opened the envelope.
Oh, do you have to open it? I thought you were supposed to peek through this little window in the front.
Give me that telegram. I'll read it. Hey, look, Costello.
What?
It's from your hometown.
Patterson, New Jersey?
Patterson, New Jersey.
Oh, boy!
Can you imagine? Look, it says, Dear Louis Costello.
Oh, yeah. Abbott, look at the way they spell Louis.
What do you mean?
L-O-U-S-E.
Quiet.
That's my hometown.
Quiet, Costello. This telegram is from your old grade school in Patterson, Public School 15.
Oh, boy. Good old PS-15. My old alma mattress.
No. No, you mean alma mater. A mattress is something you lie on.
I know. I laid around that school for 10 years. what do they want with me, Abbott?
Well, the telegram goes on to say, let's see now. We are proud of you, Mr. Costello, and the whole school will greatly be honored if you would come to Patterson this Saturday night and appear in our annual school play, signed by the principal, J. Soiloff Wallpaper.
How do you like that, Abbott? Boy, oh, boy. I knew my old school would send for me someday.
Sure they would.
I was always the hero of my school. I'll never forget Coach Abel Green.
What do you mean?
And those kids I played with. Michael Varello.
What did they do?
Those were the kids. We had a real team in that. I was even the captain of the tug-of-war team.
Wait a minute. What did you do on the tug-of-war team?
I was the second jerk from the end.
Yes, but I can't...
I don't get that.
I don't either. Look, I can't understand why that school would send for you to appear in a play. What do you know about grammar?
About what?
Do you understand grammar?
No, not since she got a new false teeth.
No.
Even Grandpa can't understand her.
Now, Costello, I'm talking about dramatic acting. Did you ever do anything dramatic in school?
Oh, did I? I used to get up, and I used to excite poetry.
You did?
Get a load of this little gem, which I wrote myself.
Let's hear it.
And roses are red, and violets are purple. Sugar is sweet, and so is maple syrup.
Come on,
maple syrup. It rhymes, don't it?
Well, what about it? But maple syrup, what is that?
What is maple syrup?
What is maple syrup?
Maple syrup is the stuff you put on flannel cakles.
Okay, look. No, talk sense now. If you're going to Patterson, New Jersey, we've got to get down to the railroad station right away. Come on.
Okay, come on.
All right now, Costello, let's get our tickets for Patterson. We've got to find a comfortable place to sleep on the train.
Oh, I never have any trouble, Abbott. I got a system. I eat garlic before I get on a train.
What has garlic got to do with finding a place to sleep?
I just breathe in the conductor's face, and he gives me a wide berth.
Be sensible. Well, here's the ticket window. I beg your pardon, sir. We're going to Patterson. Could you tell us how the trains run?
Oh, yes. There's a big black thing that pulls them, and it goes choo-choo and woo-hoo!
This guy's been drinking too much of that traveler's aid.
Look. Look. You better let me handle this, Costello.
I think I better because I lost my place.
All right, never mind that. Now, look. In order to say Lou, come here.
Go ahead. I got it.
All right, look, I'll take care of everything. Don't worry about a thing. In order to save money, I think we'd better get a couple of upper berths.
Oh, but I don't want an upper. I want a lower.
But, Costello, do you realize that if you buy a lower, you'll find it's much higher than an upper?
Oh, sure. I mean, after all, what'd you say?
I said that a lower is higher than an upper.
A lower is higher than an upper?
Why, certainly.
Well, what are they doing, running the trains upside down?
Of course not. The lower is a more desirable berth. Therefore, if you want to go lower, you'll have to go higher.
If I want to go lower, I'll have to go higher?
Yeah.
Why should I go higher when I want to go lower?
Not, simply because if you want to go lower, you have to go higher. Because the lower is higher than the upper. And the reason the lower is higher than the upper is because the upper is higher up than the lower.
Oh! You mean that the upper is lower than the lower because the lower is higher than the upper?
Now you've got it.
Now I've got it. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Costello, I'm trying to tell you that they sell the upper lower than the lower because when you sleep in an upper, you have to get up to go to bed.
I have to get up to go to bed?
That's right.
Who's paying for my berth?
You are.
And there ain't going to be anybody in it but me?
No.
Then why do I have to get up?
Costello, look, I've already explained it. Unless you go higher for a lower, then you're stuck with an upper. And you'll have to get up when you go to bed. And you'll have to get down when you want to get up.
Abbott.
What?
Let me smell your breath.
Oh!
Friends, would you like to do me a... Well, I was just about to say, do me a favor, but actually, I should say, do yourself a favor. Or maybe do your throat and your taste a flavor. Freddie Rich plays a hit tune of today, but for many of you, it is also a hit of other years. Freddie revives Sweet and Lovely.
Here you are, Costello, in good old Patterson, New Jersey.
Yeah, Abbott. And here's my old school.
Do tell.
P.S. 15. As I stand here looking at this old building, I think of the happy days I spent here as a boy.
How long did you go to school, Costello?
You mean counting kindergarten?
Yes.
1 year.
Come on, let's find the principal's office and see what time we start rehearsing for the school play tonight.
Hey, what do you mean? What time we start rehearsing? Not we, me! This is my old school, not yours, Abbott.
What do you mean?
I'm going to do this play all by myself. I don't need your help.
Oh, how can you say that, Costello? Haven't I always given you the best of everything? Why, last last Sunday when we had a double date. I gave you the best girl. What a slick little number you had.
Slick number is right. I bent her back in my arms and her hair slid off.
All right, look. Just cut that out, Costello. Wait a minute. I think this is the principal's office right here.
No, not that room.
What do you mean?
No, that room is where they have the art class.
What do you mean?
That's where I learned to draw, Abbott.
You did?
I was a wonderful drawer. My kid brother Sebastian is in there now. He's studying to be a drawer, too.
Well, that'll be nice.
Just think of it. The Costello brothers. A pair of drawers.
Look, never mind that. Where is the principal's office?
Oh, I don't quite remember, Abbott. But look. Here's my old first grade's room.
First grade room?
Yeah. Hey,
well, why don't you go in and say hello to your old teacher?
Oh, I don't think Miss Sashwaite would remember me. I wonder if she's as fat as she used to be.
Why, was she very fat?
Fat. Every time she turned around, she used to erase the back blackboard.
I
said it.
All right. Well, go ahead. Open the door and see if she remembers you after all these years.
Okay. Boy, will she be surprised to see me. Miss Sashwaite.
Yes?
Don't you remember me? I'm Lou Costello.
Oh, and where were you all day yesterday?
Yesterday? I haven't been here for 15 years.
If you're absent one more day, you'll have to bring a note from your mother.
Just a minute, Miss Sashwaite. I'm Lou Costello. Don't you remember how 15 years ago I always used to pester you by raising my hand?
Yes.
Well...
You can go now.
Gee, Miss Sashwaite. Gee, she's changed. I remember when she used to keep me after school to spank her erasers.
All right, look. Come on, Costello. Here's the principal's office right over here. And you'd better let me talk to him. He's a very brilliant man.
Go ahead.
How do you do, sir? Are you Professor Wallpaper, the principal?
Yeah.
Oh, you can always tell a Harvard man.
Professor, I understand you want Costello to appear in your school play tonight.
Yeah, just a minute. I got the telephone tangled in my yo-yo. Now, if you fellas are looking for the rehearsal of the play, it's right in the next room.
Oh, all right. Come on, Costello.
Oh, I love you, Millicent, my darling.
I love you too, Rodney. Kiss me, my sweet.
Oh, hey, you two, cut it out!
Shh, wait a minute, don't stop them, Costello. That's wonderful acting.
They're not acting. That's the janitor and the fourth grade teacher.
Oh, this is ridiculous. Can anybody tell us where they're rehearsing the play, please?
Right in the next room. Just ask for the English teacher. He's in charge.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, I love you, Millicent, my darling.
I love you too, Rodney. Kiss me, my sweet.
Hey, Abbott.
What?
They've been doing that for 15 years.
Why don't they get together?
Well, she won't marry him when he's drunk. And he won't marry her when he's sober.
Yes, Randy. Yes, teacher, I'm a dandy.
Tetzo, don't tell me that you're teaching in this school, too.
Yeah, could be, yeah. You know, I'm devoting my whole life to teaching the little kiddies how to speak perfectly the King's English. Yes, I went to one of the most famous colleges in England.
Eton?
Yeah, Eton and Drinkham. I had a wonderful time.
I was in London once.
Yeah?
I met a beautiful girl on the street one day.
Piccadilly?
I certainly did.
He certainly did. I don't get it.
Look, Kitzel, I understand you're directing the school play tonight.
Yes, I am, my friend. You know, my whole family was dramatic coaches. My grandfather was a coach, my father was a coach, my uncle was a coach. Oh, I come from a long line of coaches.
And what are you, the caboose?
Well, gentlemen, I'll see you tonight at the play. Now I must get back to my pupil.
Just a minute, Kitzel, yeah? Just a minute. Is my kid brother Sebastian in your English class?
Is that little Sebastian your brother? Woo-hoo, is he a bright little chappy? You know, he is speaking the best English from the whole school. Just a second, I'll call him. Sebastian!
Hello, Sebastian. Hello. I just wanted to tell you how proud I am of you. Professor Kitzel just told me that you're the best English pupil in his whole class. Is that true?
Yeah, could be.
lovely Connie Haynes and a lovely song together.
We stroll the lane together, laughed at the rain together, sang love's refrain together.
Radio sure is a wonderful triumph of modern science, but as yet we haven't found out how to broadcast the flavor of a cigarette over a microphone.
Good evening, members of the Parents and Teachers Club of Patterson, and all you dirty, dear little kiddies. We have a great surprise for you tonight. One of our former pupils, Lou Costello, has consented to present a play for us. Most of you remember Lou Costello. In his school days, he was the head boy along this block. And let us listen to this blockhead.
Costello! Costello! The audience is waiting for you. You've just been introduced. Open this door.
Here I am, Uncle Bud!
Sebastian! What are you doing in your brother's makeup and his costume? What is the meaning of this?
Louis has disappeared.
Disappeared?
Mm-hmm. But don't worry, Uncle Bud.
What do you mean?
I'm going out on the stage and I'm going to take his place. And the audience will never know the difference. I put on this big, big putty nose that I got, and I put on my nose, this big putty nose.
But, Sebastian, you've got the putty down over the end of your nose. How are you going to smell?
All right, unless they turn on the heat.
Look, Sebastian, what are you going to do when you get out on that stage?
Well, I'm going to tell him a story about Romeo and Juliet. And it was written by William Shakespeare, a very great ether.
Ether?
Mm-hmm.
You mean author. Ether puts people asleep.
That's what the story's going to do.
Well, all right, as long as Lou isn't here, I suppose you'll have to do it. Okay, come on, hurry up. The curtain's going up. Come on, there you are.
Oh, okay, okay. Okay, thank you, thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm about to tell you the story of Romeo and Juliet. Now, I don't want any interruptions from you, Uncle Abbott.
Go ahead, let's
My
hear the
big
story.
Brother told me how you interrupt him.
Oh, well, go ahead.
But don't interrupt me.
Tell a story.
Don't give me that.
Go ahead,
don't
go ahead, go ahead.
I lost my place like my big brother. Now, I'm not kidding. Once upon a time, there was a fella named Romeo.
Romeo? What did this Romeo look like?
I got out of that one.
Well, all right, what did he look like?
Huh?
What did he look like?
Well, he was about... How do I know what he looked like? I never met the guy.
Then why do you tell stories about people you don't even know?
Nobody knows Romeo. He's just a guy in a story. He's an imaginary character.
Oh, you mean he's just a person in fancy?
In fancy? In fancy what?
In fancy nothing.
That's a good way to catch cold. Now look, Uncle Bud, if you'll just shut up, I'll tell a story.
All right, go ahead. I won't say any more.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Once upon a time, there was a fellow named Romeo,
And he was his father's only son.
Well, that's right. He was his father's heir.
His what?
His father's heir.
His father didn't have any hair. He was bald-headed.
All right, go ahead.
Now, don't interrupt me.
All right, go ahead.
Now, there's a girl in the story, and her name is Juliet. And her father was giving a big party, you know, to kind of sort of shove her into society.
Oh, you mean she was making her debut.
I don't know if it was a debut or her nightview. All I know, it was her first party, and a lot of people was invited to see her and stuff. Things.
Well, you see, the folks were coming in to her coming out party.
How can you come in to come out? She was inside already.
Naturally, she had to come in to come out.
What does she want to come out for? She was inside. This wasn't an outdoor affair.
All right.
This was inside.
I know that. You told me that. All right.
Well, if people are going to come in to come out, there's no use of going out to come in.
All right.
Why don't they stay home?
Look, Sebastian, you don't understand.
Why don't you stay home?
Look, you don't understand, Sebastian.
I should stay home.
Now, listen, please. You want me to tell your big brother on you?
Anybody got lozenges?
Listen, please. Look, the party brings her out.
The party brings her out.
That's right.
Why should the party bring her out? What did the little girl do?
No.
The party didn't even start. Some guy right away wants to drag her out.
No, you don't understand.
Why don't they leave the little kid alone?
Now, Sebastian.
Maybe she wasn't drinking.
But, cuss. Listen, Sebastian.
Maybe she had one popsicle.
Now, Sebastian.
Maybe after all, the kid is okay.
Yeah, all right.
Lost again.
All right, go on with the story. Well, look, wasn't Romeo invited to this party?
Talk longer.
Look, wasn't Romeo invited to this party is what I want to know. Wasn't he?
Oh, sure. Oh, that... sure. No, you see, Juliet's father. Thank you, Mr. Bernard. Juliet's father. I need him.
Now, come on, Sebastian.
Juliet's father didn't like Romeo, yes. So he had to put on a mask, and he borrowed another guy's clothes, and he went away.
Oh, Romeo went in disguise.
Yeah. In this guy's clothes.
I see. All right.
You see, Uncle Bud, Romeo and Juliet's fathers was enemies, and they was fighting for 15 years.
They didn't like each other.
Yeah.
Which family brought on the feud?
They both brought on the feud, but Romeo wouldn't eat it. He was lovesick. He kept getting thin and pale.
Oh, I see. He looked wan.
Oh, yeah. He... what'd you say?
I said, he looked Juan. Don't you know what Juan is?
Yeah, Juan is the number before two.
No.
One, two, a bottom of my shell.
No. Juan means picket. Romeo was picket.
Oh, sure. He was picket through the keyhole at Juliet.
Now, Sebastian.
Well, if I was there, I'd have picket out of her myself.
Sebastian, will you please go on with the play?
Well, anyway, every night Juliet used to sit on the balcony.
Why did she sit in the balcony?
Because she couldn't afford a seat in the orchestra.
All right.
And she liked to sit in the balcony.
All right, now, don't argue.
Up there she could smoke.
Yeah, I understand.
Put her feet on the rail.
Yes, go on, go ahead.
So far, so good.
Go ahead.
One night, I hope I can hold out.
All right.
Juliet dropped her handkerchief and Romeo picked it up and handed it to her.
And what did Juliet do when Romeo handed her the handkerchief?
She'd done like anybody else.
What?
Well, you know what
I mean.
Wait,
you know the story, don't you?
Oh, yes, she...
Well, what did Juliet do when Romeo handed her the handkerchief?
You know, like they always...
What did she do?
She wiped her nose!
All right, now.
Gee, did you have to make me say
well,
that?
Well, all right, never mind.
I mean, it's your line.
All right, look. But look, Sebastian, as I remember the story, Romeo had a rival and they fought a duel with lances. Now, what I can't understand is why did the other fella kick Romeo when Romeo dropped his lance?
Because he caught Romeo with his lance down.
Look, that's enough, Sebastian. Stop the play. Stop it. I say, ladies and gentlemen, the play is over. Bring down the curtain.
Hey, what's the idea of stopping the play, Uncle Bud?
Sebastian, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Not only have you disgraced your brother Lou, but you stand there and make a monkey out of a great masterpiece. You ridicule Romeo and Juliet, the greatest love story of all time, and you deliberately insult the name of William Shakespeare. Why do you do these wicked things?
Oh, I'm a bad boy.
Yeah, I'll say you're a bad boy.
Oh, I'm the kind of kid my mother won't let me associate with.
You certainly are. Now, come here. Now, where is your brother Lou?
I think he might be in the fourth grade classroom, Uncle Bud.
What makes you think that?
Because I locked him in there before the show.
Sebastian, unlock that door and let your brother out. He's probably in there crying his eyes out because he missed the play. Go on, open that door.
Okay, Uncle Bud.
Go ahead.
I love you, Millicent, my darling.
And I love you too, Costello. Kiss me, my sweet.
Costello! Costello! What are you doing making love with a fourth grade teacher? You know she's the janitor's girl.
You're telling me, Abbott, and I'm the new janitor.
But you missed the whole play.
Oh, don't worry, Abbott. Millicent and I are going to put on another play tomorrow night.
Another play?
Yeah, and I'm calling it The Girl Who Eloped with the New Janitor or Gone with the Window Cleaner.
I love you, Costello, my sweet.
I love you too, Millicent, my sweet.
Oh, he's a bad boy!
Abbott and Costello will be back in a moment.
Thanks to the Yanks of the Week, tonight we salute Technical Sergeant George James H. Logan of Luling, Texas, who is one of only two men in this war to receive both the Congressional Medal of Honor and the Distinguished Service Cross. In your honor, Sergeant James M. Logan, the makers of Camels are sending to our fighters overseas 400,000 Camel cigarettes.
Each of the three Camel radio shows honors a Yank of the Week by sending free 400,000 Camel cigarettes overseas, a total of more than a million Camels sent free each week. In this country, the Camel caravans traveling from camp to camp have thanked audiences of more than 4 million Yanks with free shows and free Camels. Camel broadcasts go out to the United States three times a week, are rebroadcast to our men overseas and to South America. Listen tomorrow to Jimmy Durante and Gary Moore, Monday to Bob Hawke in Thanks to the Yanks, and next Thursday to Abbott and Costello. And before we hear from the boys, I'd like to say the Merchant Marine needs more men to man the supply lines to victory. And to eligible men, it offers not only a well-paid and worthy present, but a splendid future. In 6 months' time now, you can make the progress it would have taken you 3 years to make before Pearl Harbor. Get all the facts. Go to any United States Employment Service office or wire collect to the United States Merchant Marine, Washington, D.C. And now, here are Bud and Lou Costello with a final word.
Thanks, Ken. But it's getting a little late, so all we'll have time to say is just good night, folks.
And good night to everybody.
Good night,
please,
to
buy bonds.
Buy bonds. Good night, folks.
Good night, everybody in Paterson, New Jersey.
Good night, neighbors. Good night, neighbors.
Be sure to tune in next week for another great Abbott and Costello show. And remember, try Camels on your throat and your taste. See for yourself how Camels' mildness, coolness, and flavor click with you.
If you are a hermit living in some lonely cave, don't listen to this, because you're one of the few men in the world who can pack his pipe with any old tobacco he pleases and get away with it. But if you want your pipe to make a hit with people around you as well as yourself, then load up with Prince Albert. That wonderful fragrance, that aged-in-the-wood aroma, gives your pipe real pipe appeal to other folks as well as yourself. Besides that fragrance, Prince Albert has a rich, full-bodied yet mild flavor. It's no-bite treated for tongue gentleness. It's crimp-cut to pack, draw, and burn perfectly. And what a bargain. Just about 50 pipefuls in one regular 2-ounce package. More pipes smoke Prince Albert than any other tobacco in the world.
The Abbott and Costello Show for Camel Cigarettes will be back at this very same time next week. Don't miss it. This is Ken Niles in Hollywood wishing you a pleasant good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Go, Joe, go!
Well, the old clock right up on that studio wall tells me it's time to close up shop again for another week of Nostalgia Radio Time. I'm Greg Van Beek, thanking you for listening, and hope you'll join me again next week for more music and memories of the greatest generation. Feel free to email me with your comments about the program, any song requests, old-time radio show requests. Send them all to nostalgiaradiotime@yahoo.com. And while you're online, check us out on Facebook and on X. And if you happen to be interested in antique radios, looking to acquire a set when it's fully restored and functional, now when it's Bluetooth capability, check out my website at radioaddict.com/Van Beek. It's all one word, V-A-N-B, two E's and a K. So until we meet again next week, I'm Greg Van Beek saying so long for now.